in Perek Yudalid. We are doing Rishonim, the first half of Perek Yudalid, chapter 14. In Vayikra can really be divided up into two sections. One is the purification process of the Metzora, which we'll be learning about today. And the second half of the Perek really discusses the issue of Tzaras in a hope. It's really a different, it seems like a different topic. So we are covering the two stages of the Metzora's purification. So this is after the Metzora has spent his time out in the wilderness. So there is one thing that he comes, but he meets the Kohen, and there is this avoda that takes place with the two birds, where one is killed and the other one is dipped in the blood and it flies off. That's one of the topics. And then the other is then he goes away for another 7 days. Well, go away, but he's not permitted to be with his wife. He remains tummy for 7 days. And at the end of those 7 days, he goes through another avoda of the three animals where they dip the blood on his fingers and on his ears and on his toes, and they put the oil on his head. So those are the, and that's the second half. So I found the interesting, sure, so pshat, but the Or HaChaim has an interesting explanation on the first half. The second half, I couldn't find much on. We're going to have to wait maybe for Musar Day or something to figure out what's going on with the blood on the toes and the finger and the ears and that part of the avoda. So let's go back to the beginning. So Vayidver Hashem L'Moshe L'Emor, Zos Tiyat Torah Sametzor B'Yom Taraso V'Vah HaKohen. This is going to be the Torah of the Metzor on the day becomes pure. He'll be brought to the Kohen, and the Pasuk Gimel V'Yatza Kohen U'Mechutz Machaneh. The Kohen is going to go outside of the camp. So the Rishonim stop and say, whoa, wait a second, I thought he was being brought to the Kohen, right? Pasuk Beis says he's going to be brought to the Kohen. What does that imply? That he's going to be brought into the Beis HaMikdash. And what does the Kohen do? The Kohen goes outside of the camps in order to meet him. Well, aren't they then going to miss each other, right? That would be pretty frustrating. Rashi does not really comment on this. The Ramban and the Sforno do. So the Sforno makes a comment, Zos Tiyat Torah V'Uval HaKohen El Makom Karov Chutz L'Machane. Actually, before we go there, let's just go to the Ramban. The Ramban says, Yomer Shetia Zos Torah Samatzor B'Yom Sheyirtze L'Hitahar Sheyuval HaKohen. The day that he's going to be brought to the Kohen, Ki Ein Lo Tara L'Olam El Alpiv. Because he could only achieve Tara with the word of the Kohen. Just like he could only achieve Tuma by word of the Kohen, so he's only going to achieve Tara by the word of the Kohen. So, and then it explains that the Kohen goes out to meet him. He doesn't go to him, he's not brought to him, even though he is healed. So the Torah's Kohen, it explains that he's brought to the Kohen, Shalo Yisha, that he's not allowed to wait. So the Torah's Kohen, what's going on? What does it mean being brought to the Kohen if the Kohen is going outside the camp anyways? So number one, he says, well, he can't wait. On day seven is when he should go in. He shouldn't say, hey, it's nice out here. The desert, no one's here to bother me. I'm getting a lot done. So that's inappropriate. When the 7 days are up, he should go back to the Kohen. And if he doesn't go back, then he should be forced to go to the Kohen. That's what's being taught in Pasuk Beis. Now in Pasuk Gimel, it says the Kohen is going out. So why is the Kohen going out? Because that's really what's happening. The Kohen is going out and greeting him there, but where the Pasuk Beis of being brought to the Kohen doesn't mean being brought into the Beis HaMikdash to the Kohen. Rather, it just means you make sure you have your appointment set up and, when the Kohen texts you about your location, make sure you answer it and make sure you come in contact. The Sforno says a little bit more. He says, where is he being brought, though? What does that literally mean? So the Rabban said, well, he's being brought, meaning if he doesn't go himself, we're going to make him go. The Sforno says, well, no. El makom karov chutz l'machane. That where was he? He was out in the wilderness. Where out in the wilderness? I don't know. Someplace. He was hanging out there someplace. Was he right outside the city? No, not necessarily. He could have gone wherever he wanted outside of the camp. So the Sforno is saying that's what's going on in Pasuk Beis. Tell him to come closer to the city so that the Kohen can come and find him, because the Kohen is a busy guy. So the Kohen doesn't have to be chasing after this guy all over the desert. Rather, go to the Kohen Metzora meeting place And the Kohen will be able to find you there, and everything will go great. So on one hand, that's probably a nicer pshat. On the other hand, the Ramban is probably more halachic. I mean, what is the, there's a dindo raisa of make sure you go to the Kohen meetup spot. It's a little hard to believe. The Ramban is saying that, no, it's actually teaching with dindo raisa not to wait, that the mitzvah's ase is to do it as fast as possible. That probably is more of a halachic approach, while the Sfarno might be more of a simple pshat approach. Okay, so continue on a little bit. So the Ramban stops and comments on this issue with the birds. So what was the story? There are two birds, Chayos Taros, Veitz Erez, Ushnitu Las Veizov, and he has the cedar wood and the crimson wool and the hyssop, and they shat one of them. Fine. So says Rashi explained, why do we use these birds? So Rashi explained, well, because, remember why we use birds? Why do we use the birds? What do birds represent in this context? Rashi says the... Yeah.
Twittering.
Tweet, 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 tweet. Yes. The twittering. The first appearance, at least that I know of, predated even Twitter, is the Art Scrolls translation of the word pitputim, which they translated as twittering. So the twittering of a person is equal to the twittering of the birds. And that's why the birds represent. So the Ramban says, you know, a bit of a problem with that, because there's many birds that don't tweet.
Crow.
A crow is an example of one that doesn't tweet?
A crow.
Okay.
And then the trees.
Right, so the Ramban says that and the implication here is that we're going to permit that. So I don't know why he says this, but he seems to say, and the implication is that any kosher bird would be permissible for this purpose.
Crow isn't
a kosher bird. So not a crow. You got to find another kosher bird that perhaps doesn't tweet.
Using doves here, doves.
Yeah, so I don't understand that, because it gives you examples of the birds you're supposed to use. It says you'll bring two tziporim chayos toros. Actually, maybe it doesn't. The truth is, for this, it doesn't give you the names of the birds. Later on, by the poor mitzora's offering, there it does mention the names of the birds. So there it says you need to have shnei torim u'shnei b'nei yonah. But here it doesn't. Here it doesn't give you the names of the birds. So says the Ramban, wait a second, if you could take any kosher bird, not all kosher birds tweet. So how can you say that's the pshat? That's what we're supposed to learn out from this if it's not true. So how does he answer the question? He says, Bahanir midiv rabbi Hoseinu, shekol ofus tahorim nikron sipur. That it's true that all kosher birds are called sipors, aval mitzvasu shel mitzora b'tzifre dror. That it's not just any bird is permitted for a mitzvah. It has to be a free bird, a tzipori dror. I'm not sure how we know what is a tzipori dror versus others. As he learns it out from El Sefer in the Torah's Kohen, v'shalachas ha-tzipori d'chaya el b'chutz l'ir al p'nei sadeh, v'yos ha-gili over, tzipor shechaya chutz l'chol ha-ir, a bird that lives outside of the cities, v'ezu zed dror. That is a dror bird. So the Ramban is giving a very important halacha here based on that idea, right? Our original assumption is that any kosher bird would be good, implying, I don't know, chickens, right? You're giving chickens, they're kosher birds. Turkeys, perhaps, as we learned about a couple of weeks ago. But says the Ramban, not so fast, it has to be a free bird that lives outside the cities that tweets.
So it's one that's used to living alone. I mean, when you can let it go, it'll survive. I mean,
fine. Fine, it'll survive, right? But maybe that's also part of it. It needs to go out of the city. But that at least the Ramban is saying that guarantees you that it's not just any bird, but it is a at bird, at bird. It is a bird with a handle. There you go. Okay, so continues on. Yeah, and the Ramban actually says it explicitly. He says, "Vanachu shiyala mikol zehu," and what comes out of all this is shenemar shekol tzipor she'eno dror pasul afilu b'di'evet. It's pasul even b'di'evet, that is a considered a ma'akiv part of this, that it needs to be a bird that tweets. Okay, continue on a little bit to Pasuk Zayin. So Pasuk Zayin, it says, V'za'al ha-mitaher minatzarashev, if you're going to pour, from the mitaher, from the one who is purifying, sorry, you're going to pour on he who is being purified from tzaras 7 times. V'tiaro, and he'll be purified, v'shilachas ha-tzipor ha-chayah, and you're going to send out the bird. So it says the Or HaChaim, it's a little wordy. Right? That's obviously what we're talking about. So what does he mean? Why does it say, v'za'al mitaher, shevapayim? You're going to pour on he who's becoming purified 7 times. Why does it have to say, he who is being purified from the punishment of tzaras? So v'ulai suggests the Or HaChaim, v'ulai ki l'tzad shazazu einu mitaharis oso behechlet ela kiyom shepaska zava midam zova. He's suggesting that this hazah doesn't really purify the guy. Right? He's not pure yet. He's not going to be allowed with his wife. He's still going to have to wait until the korbanos are offered 7 days later. Rather, it's like the day when the zava stops having her zav blood. So what happens after the zava stops having her zav blood? So then she's required to wait shiva nekiyim. She's required to wait 7 clean days until she go to the mikvah. So what's her status during that time? So what's your status during that time? So she's not pure yet. So rather, so the Or HaChaim says, so that's pshat in the words here. He says, "V'dayin tzarich lulus paros zayin yom kedin tumasav v'timsa shekol yimei sifro adayin lo avatuma." So all those days he's still in avatuma. L'zeh amar. That's why it says habitahir minat tzaras, meaning he's being purified from the tzaras perush miguf hatzaras, from the tzaras itself. Meaning he's now being purified from the issue of, from having physical tzaras. But v'lo min tumas tzaras, he's not being purified from the tumas tzaras, and that's what's being learned out from this pasuk. That he, yes, it's true, he is now being separated from the object of tzaras, the object that is causing him to become tamei, but he still remains tamei until the duration of the korbanos and the 7 days and the rest of the korbanos and the whole and the service with the dam and the avod and all that until that is carried out as well. Yeah, well, there's also a difference between tumas mace and mace, right? If a person comes in contact with a dead body, they're tumas mace.
Right.
So actually, it would be interesting. I don't have.
Can you have tzaras without being tuma?
Tame? No. Well, you're not going to have declared tzaras until you declare it tame. Okay. Right. I mean, that's what we learned.
But you can have a mace without being.
Okay. Well, as you said, in order for a person to become a mitzvah, the kohen needs to announce it. That's a rule.
So they're tied. I mean, he doesn't have tzaras until the kohen says he's
correct. Tumas. Yeah, but then he has tzaras. When he has tzaras, he's now tamei.
Right.
Right. Okay. And now we're saying that he's purified. He's no longer going to have the tzaras making him tamei. He's just going to remain tamei. Similarly to a tamei tumas meis, a person might not be in contact with the dead anymore, but they still maintain the tumas meis until they can get rid of it. Okay. Where's the swerdo here? Oh, there it is. Okay. Fine. Okay. So what should we do now? All right. So if we go forward another two psukim to pasuk tes, v'haya b'yom hashvi'i. So it was on the 7th day. Yigalachas kol saro, is going to shave all of the hair. Es v'shuv v'esignov v'es gavosi nav v'es kol saro yigaleach v'chites es v'gadav v'chatz v'sirom ma'im v'dayer. He's going to be clean. He's going to be sent off. So the Or HaChaim here in Pasuk Tes goes through a couple of diukim in the Pasuk. And then about halfway through the Or HaChaim, he kind of clears his throat a little bit and says, "V'derech Rebbes Tirmos HaParsha al Galus Yisrael." By the way, this whole Parsha with the birds, it's all a hint to the story of Bnei Yisrael's Galus. How could that be? What's he talking about? So he says, "Al derech she'amru b'sefer haZohar." It says clearly in the Zohar, "Ki umas olam liYisrael he mechinas hatzaras v'yishutu behem letzad hatam atzmo she'isoviv hatzaras." That the other nations are compared to tzaras, And there's a reasoning that they like surround us like tzaras. That the idea of being in Galus is representative of having tzaras. And being amongst the non-Jews is representative of having tzaras. And he quotes a couple things to prove it. Says, "Gam in l'cha davar shemarchi ka'adam min kono k'loshen hara." And he continues on and says, actually, you know, let's read a little more. He says, "V'tipsa," and we find this in Bamidbar Rabba, "Shelo nigalu yisrael mimitzrayim el letzad shelo ayah behem bali loshen hara." That the only reason that B'nai Israel got out of Egypt is because they were not Lashon, Bali Lashon Hara. Where do you see in the story of B'nai Israel leaving Egypt that they were not Bali Lashon Hara? Now, it just takes a little bit of expansive. I mean, the Gemara uses the term Lashon Hara. What does the Gemara mean when it says the term Lashon Hara? Anybody know? So I think it means more than what we understand to mean Bizman is that. Nowadays, you say Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara means when you say something bad about somebody else to somebody else, right? That's what we say Lashon Hara, and we thank the Chafetz Chaim for that. The Chafetz Chaim took an area of something that was somewhat vague and created a whole book of halachos on it. That was the greatness of what the Chafetz Chaim did with regards to the book with regards to this book of the Chafetz Chaim. By the way, the case is made that he did the opposite with the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah was taking halachas and make it more livable. I mean, to make it a little more vague, as opposed to Lashon Hara, which was vague, and he made it much more specific. So, whatever. More on that another time. But if you just read the Gemara, when the Gemara makes reference to Lashon Hara, it says, oh, somebody who gets Saras because they did Lashon Hara. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they violated something that Chafetz Chaim was talking about. It could just mean they had evil speech, or they had evil intent, or they made someone feel bad with their words. It might not be the technical thing. So anyways, back to our story. B'nai Yisrael got out of Egypt because they didn't violate Lashon Hara. What's that talking about? So what pasuk does it go? Dichsiv, in pasuk in parak gimel of Shmos, v'sheila isha, that they're going, a woman is going to ask, and the pasuk continues on. What is that pasuk referring to? Just very quickly, parak gimel pasuk chafes and Shmos. That's in the middle of the story with the burning bush. And there the pasuk is v'sheila isha mishchenta umigara vesa klikesu pleizahav usmalos, that the women are then going to go around and request from their neighbors the silver vessels, the gold vessels, the garments, asantanas benechem alvanoseichem and isalsam mimitzrayim. They're going to put them on your sons and daughters, and you're going to leave Egypt, right? Kind of like a throwaway line, but whoa, that's a pretty big thing, right? They're going to go to their Egyptian neighbors, they're going to ask them for all this stuff, and then they're going to leave. So we don't think about this line, doesn't get a lot of notice. It's in the middle of Hashem's speech to Moshe. It's Hashem's promising, but whoa, that's an interesting thing. And one can also presume, says the Or HaChaim, there was a Chaim that this was told to B'nai Yisrael. That B'nai Yisrael was told, by the way, you're going to leave Egypt. Not only are you going to leave Egypt, but you're going to get all the people's stuff. And yet, B'nai Yisrael kept it a secret for 12 months. For 12 months, B'nai Yisrael knew that they were going to be able to go after the Egyptians for stuff, but they didn't say anything about it. They didn't taunt the Egyptians with it. So too, there's nothing that separates person from their creator like Lashon Hara. That this is going to be the Torah of Mitzorah, which is referring to B'nai Yisrael. That became tzaras from their contact with impure people. B'yom tahara so she tahar l'shon of idrachav, on the day of their purity, when they purify their language, when they're able to leave the non-Jews and hopefully not speak like Jason Kelsey, something like that. So then he continues on and says, right, and Vetziva Hakohen v'lakach l'mitaher, and therefore the Kohen is going to command, he's going to take in order to purify. Shtei tziparim chayos toros heim shnei masichim. These two birds are the two chatterers. V'nikru tzipur, they're called tzipur, ki chen yitchenu neshamos halyonos ki yadua. They have those types of neshamos that talk a lot. V'metzi sheyizchana hakohel tzipur, that the gula is going to be prepared by way of a bird, and he quotes some psukim for that. And not only that, and he said, right, when we see that we learn Masechta Sukkah, Sheshnei Mashiachei Yisrael Heim. that there's going to be two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Ephraim and Mashiach ben David. Uvetchila yisgala Mashiach ben Ephraim, and at first they're going to take the Mashiach ben Ephraim, v'yamos, and the Mashiach ben Ephraim is not going to make it. V'acharkach yisgala Mashiach ben David, and then afterwards they're going to get a gula by way of Mashiach ben David. V'cheneged shnei elu amar v'lakach l'niter shtei tzirim chayos teros, and opposite these two things, these two birds, kol elu hakinuyim hei me'alos hakadusha kiedu liyodas, and all this is really a hint towards the future that is known to those who know. So I don't know if we're those who know now or we're those who don't know, but something is out there with regards to this. He actually has a line later on, the Mashiach ben Yosef dies. Why does Mashiach ben Yosef die? Suggests his line, taken somewhat out of context. Mashiach ben Yosef, yeah. This is Mashiach ben David. He's going
Mashiach ben Ephraim.
But he's really referring to, right, when we call Mashiach ben Yosef, he's called Mashiach ben Ephraim. Okay, yeah. He is the son of Yosef, yes. So he adds in here, Perish, why does Mashiach ben Yosef have to die? Perish b'shvil kaparas ha'am pinyu nafshem, because he offers as a redeeming for his soul the kapara, the atonement for the entire nation. Sounds a little, okay, I'm not sure how to understand that. I never really understood the story of Mashiach ben Yosef. He continues on and says, and therefore we have to do our best in order to be able to be good so that we can be redeemed without having to sacrifice Mashiach ben Yosef. That's the conclusion of the Or Chaim. So somehow you can transpose that onto this story. Okay, one more thought, two more thoughts here. Number one, Pasuk Yud Beis. The Kohen is going to take the Kevesah Chaim Krimaso LaHashem Yeslog HaShamen Venifu Sam Tenufa Lifnei Hashem. So says the Sforno, Kfar hisparsh inyan ha'ashem hu al mal b'kodesh, k'ma b'chatas al chiyuv kares. He says, why are they bringing korban ashem? When does one bring a korban ashem? One brings a korban ashem when they are chayiv for the prohibition of me'ila. Right? They have desanctified that which is sanctified. So kfar amush, so what does that have to do with us? So says the Sforno, kfar amush at sarasi al lashon hara v'al gasas aruch shishnehem mi'ila sakodesh. The idea of tsaras is for somebody who violated lashon hara, or for somebody who was gasas aruch. What does gasas aruch mean? How did we translate the other day? Somebody who is haughty, for haughtiness. So shishneim mi'ila b'kodesh, and both of those are example of mi'ila. How are those examples of mi'ila? Yalda lashon hara akru b'seiser, that lashon hara is done privately. Kamik b'Hashem listor etza, and ha'over avera b'seiser ki ilu dochek ragli hashchina, says the Gemara in Chayiyah. Somebody who violates prohibitions in private is as if they have knocked away the legs of the shchina. Like the maybe I'm not sure why that is. You can look up the Gemara in Chayiyah about it, but that meaning but you've degraded Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So to speak, and that's the comparison to Me'ila. And with Lashon Hara, with the other idea, with the haughtiness as well, it's somebody who is a Baal Gaiva, it says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Zegonev Malvushai, somebody who has stolen my cloak, Ian Anivuhu Yecholim Lamud Bolamecha. Me and a Baal Gaiva are not able to stay in the same place. So what does that tell us about the, what does that mean? If a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not able to be here, that means that we are taking God's space, so to speak, also a Chiv of Me'ila. So that's what the Sforno says, is being represented by the idea of Me'ila. And then finally, the Ramban, very fast, because we had the Ramban in the previous parak talk about how tsaras has to do with Lashon Hara. But yet the Ramban stops and says, you know, we're offering all these karbanos as a kapara. Kapara for what? The guy was tamei, so what's the big deal? What's the kapara for? It says, Hine in Pasuk Yud Ches, right? V'anosu v'shem and asher alakaf ha'koin, yitana roshem yitaher, v'chiper alav ha'koin livnei Hashem. He's going to get a kapara. What's the kapara? So says the Ramban, Hine amar kasu ba'ashem v'kiper, v'chazer v'amar b'chatas v'chiper al mitaher mitumaso. He'll gain atonement for he who is tahor, v'amar od ba'ola uv'mincha, v'chiper alav ha'koin v'taher. V'lo yadanu ma'inin ha'kapara salalu kulan. What is all this talk about? Out kapara, so ulai ha'ashim b'chapra amalu asher mal kodem nigo. That perhaps is chayav from me'ila, which he did me'ila before he got the tzaras. Maybe the chatas, because he sinned while he was in the period of tsaras. What would that be? That maybe during his time of tsaras, he ascribed unseemliness to God. He says, God, he gave me this. What did I do to him that he gave me this? And that's why he, and that's the issue of tumah that's imposed upon him. Now, why the Ramban says that, it doesn't say, because he did the 15 things that are mentioned in Gemara Rachin that you get tsaras for, I don't know. I don't know why he went there, but that's what Ramban says. Ramban says the kapara here is specifically these karbanos. He's not imposing upon the things that caused you to become a mitzvah in the first place, but rather he seems to be referring to sins you specifically did while you were in your period of tsaras. Why that is, I don't know. I'll leave it to you to figure out. Okay? Maybe we'll stop here.